Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Lou.
Teresa's one of our top agents in our company, and she's our student today. One of our buying and selling homes, Lander Farms in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street, next to BB&T in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes in our company websites, www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's A-L-L-S-U-T-T-O-N properties.com. Program note, Dr. Barbie Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m. So stay tuned after this show. Dr. Barbie's always got something of interest. Our guest today is Jean Maidan. Hey, Jean.
Hello.
Welcome. You're calling from Chicago.
I have.
And you're part of the National Association of Realtors. You run our commercial real estate division, right?
I am the commercial subject matter expert, yep.
You are the one. We go way back. I know we've been buddies for many, many years, and always love seeing you, and I wanted to have you on the show today, and I wanted to talk about National Association of Realtors, who we are and what we are and why we are, a little bit about our history, and specifically about our commercial division, which you head up. How many employees are in Chicago in our National Association office on Michigan Avenue?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot right away.
Roughly.
Like that, aren't you? There are, I'll give you the approximate number. I think there are somewhere around 330, 340 employees of NAR.
Yeah, and we take up it's quite an organization. Yeah. And we have about 1.4 million realtors, I think, was the last statistic that I saw. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct.
And I think we're the largest lobbyist group in Washington, right?
I would probably venture to say we are the largest. We are the largest trade organization in North America.
Right, yeah, and we go way back. We'll talk about the history. But I want to talk about you. You've got a designation, RCE. What is that?
Yeah, that's the Realtor Association Certified Executive.
Oh.
And basically, it's actually a really prestigious designation among our association executives that run our local realtor associations around the country. Staff at the national level are also encouraged to get it because, goodness, we learn so much through taking the training and education that goes into the designation as to how our local and state staff have to run their organizations, everything from professional standards to, you know, running a board to MLS policies. So, for me, I went through it simply to have that better understanding of what the day-to-day, you know, running of a local association is all about.
Good for you.
And well worth it.
Yeah, quite a background. Now, you got a degree, business administrative degree, right, from the University of Connecticut?
I focused in on communications. Yep, with my degree, communication sciences, interpersonal communications. All of that kind of focused on people.
And you worked with the YMCA, too, prior to coming to NAR.
I did. It's another great membership organization.
Yeah, incredible.
Wonderful community organization as well. So.
Absolutely. We all believe in the YMCA and it's fantastic. I was involved when I was growing up in Charlotte. They had a facility actually downtown and with a swimming pool and, you know, we would go there, little 6- and 7-year-old kids.
Of course.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So how long have you been at NAR?
I just hit my 12-year anniversary.
12 years. Wow, time flies.
Yep.
Because I met you probably 12 years ago when you first started, if I go back.
Yeah, I would have met you in the spring of 2008 at the RLI conference down in Nashville.
Yeah.
I can remember very clearly it was my first industry conference, and I had no idea what the Realtors Land Institute was all about, but I left there understanding just how valuable dirt was and how passionate our land practitioners are about that dirt.
We are very special. We're very special and unique group, and I dedicate the show to the Realtors Land Institute, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do it was not only to help promote our organization, but to encourage others to get involved with us. And I mean, what a very special group. I mean, all the groups at NAR are special, but I think ours is the most special. I'm kind of prejudiced. But we are a unique group. They always say when we have a convention that our bar bills, you know, these hotels say that we spend more money at the bar than any other organization that ever visits them. So I don't know what that means, but we do have a good time. So tell me about the commercial division. What's it all about?
I will tell you what we've been about, and there's actually some more recent developments that kind of shift our focus a little bit. But NAR's had an emphasis on commercial for quite a number of years. Actually, the commercial division, and I might get this wrong, was formed back in the 90s. Started with commercial investment committee and so on, and a commercial division was formed. Over the years, it's changed its name, focus. When I came on board, we were the Realtors Commercial Alliance.
Right.
And there was a very concerted effort to get members to identify if they were doing commercial. And what we found over the next few years was that it was confusing to some members. They thought they had to join a separate organization. And so we changed to just being the commercial division of NAR. And, you know, staffing changes over the years happened, but I'll say our focus has remained true in terms of really making sure that we represent the commercial constituency of NAR, those members that are practicing any aspect of commercial real estate, and whether they're engaged solely in commercial real estate as their core business, or whether they're a residential practitioner in a small market that's doing some commercial transactions throughout the year, you know, on a very small scale.
Right.
We know that membership is very diverse when it comes to that. And our goal has always been to make sure that members, especially if they're practicing commercial real estate, are doing so in an ethical manner and that they're educated, because we certainly don't want any of our members to get in over their heads or get into trouble.
That kind of follows our code of ethics, right? Yeah, our specialty code of ethics, Article 11. As you know, I was involved in having land included in our specialty, but it basically says, paraphrases, that realtors should not be involved in a real estate transaction without proper training or education, and if not, they should involve someone that is and explain to all parties their role in the transaction, is kind of what the code of ethics guides us to.
Yes, exactly. I like to, when I'm out at boards, just say, you know, we don't want you to do what you don't know how to do. And you shouldn't want it. You shouldn't do what
no,
you don't you, know how to
I,
do.
I wouldn't do it.
It's really important that, you know, the code of ethics is really the core principle and what NAR is all about in terms of our membership. And it is, you know, as you know, Lou, it's just so important, especially when it comes to commercial real estate.
Absolutely.
Because the transactions can be complicated. They can, you know, they're going to require a lot of hands in the mix. And it's just not the same as a residential transaction.
And they can take years. They can take years, you know, 2 or 3 years. I've heard some taking 4 and 5.
Right, exactly.
It's, let me give some stats, if I may. It says a typical commercial member has 25 years of real estate experience, 20 years experience in commercial real estate, and has been a member of NAR for 18 years. These are some stats you guys put together. They have a medium of 7 sales transactions in 2017, down from 8 in 2016. It's probably increased more now. 51% of NAR commercial members work in sales, and 16% in leasing, which is another part of commercial real estate. 49% of brokers and 29% are sales agents. The median age of a commercial member is, and it blanked out here, but I think it was like in the 60s. God, my notes.
Yep, 60 years old.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Sounds like the farming industry out there. Who's going to take over all this stuff? Teresa, it's going to be your turn next.
I'm trying to learn.
You are learning.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to learn. But under the Commercial Alliance or your organization, you guys are part of CCIM, which is our commercial institute, like the Realtors Land Institute, which we're also part of. They have 200. They require 200 classroom hours of professional experience requirements, and there's an active 1,000 U.S. Markets with 31 other countries, and comprise about 13,000 members network is what I've got here in my notes. And then you've got the Counselor of Real Estate. That's another designation. That's more for the international network of commercial practitioners. And by the way, a couple shows ago, I interviewed the president of FIATI and learned all about that, and that's an incredible organization as well. And then we've got the go ahead.
The counselors are really it's a global network of advisors, architects, lawyers, seasoned practitioners. It's a very prestigious designation because it's invite only, and a lot of people don't know that.
Really? I didn't know that.
When they see that CRE credential, you know, they ask, how can I get that? And it really is. These are folks that have put in a long time in commercial real estate in various aspects, and that they're really working on some significant projects, less about transactions, more about industry trends, development, and they do a lot of work back in communities to help economic development, companies and projects and things like that. So they're very unique in that. So it's always something I like to point out. Because they are a little bit different than the other organizations, but very well respected around the country and internationally.
And then we've got the Institute of Real Estate Management. They're over 75 years old. We call them IREM, right? That's the acronym, IREM. Tell us about them.
So IREM is all about real estate management. So, and both residential and commercial, most people typically think that means property management, but there are so many aspects to real estate management and asset management as well. And IREM has just an amazing amount of education and a really strong emphasis on moving forward. In fact, move forward is one of their new hashtag taglines
like
that they've rolled out because they're really moving forward into this new generation of real estate professionals. And from my perspective, taking a very holistic approach to how you actually take the property now that you know somebody owns it and maximize it, right? Maximize its return on investment, maximize its building efficiency, and you know, utilizing that space to the best. It's another a unique part of commercial real estate. But gosh, those property managers are just amazing.
They've got several designations that they award. One's called Certified Property Manager, Accredited mm-hmm. Residential Managers, Accredited Commercial Managers, Accredited Management Organization. Since currently IREM has about 8,772 certified property managers, members about 3,630 ARM members, and about 76, accredited managers, and about 524 member firms, U.S. and abroad. So that's quite an organization.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're growing internationally. They were just overseas in Asia, in that part of the world. That is a rapidly growing area of expertise. And I would say Asian real estate professionals put a high value on designations, certifications, and at the core, education. And they have looked to what we're doing here in the United States, and especially through partnerships they're building with IREM as well as the CCIM Institute. So that's great to see.
Perfect. Well, our guest today is Gene Maydown, and this is Let's Talk Land. Gene, we're talking about our commercial organization that you're head of, and we're talking about the member organizations that's under the commercial group. And another one is We talked about CCIM, and we talked about ARM. And, of course, we got the Realtors Land Institute that I've been a proud member of since 1998. Been a state president twice, been awarded the Land Realtor of the Year Award twice. And I'm the oldest one on the board. I've been on the board every year since 1998. And they can't get rid of me. But tell us about your involvement with the Realtors Land Institute and what your impression of what we do.
Yeah, well, I got to say, having my first conference in this business was attending the RLI conference back in 2008. And gosh, what an experience that was.
Oh, wow.
And I came into my role not knowing anything about real estate, truly. Other than, you know, how to rent an apartment and at a time how I wasn't really interested in buying a house. So didn't really give it a second thought about how does a piece of, you know, land get sold or how do you develop a shopping center. But I'll tell you, that conference really opened up my eyes to the value of real estate as an investment. And, you know, I think I walked away understanding, one, how unique this group was in terms of, you know, I will say that every member who, you know, wears that ALC designation is a member of RLI. I understand why you love the dirt. But I also understand why dirt is so valuable because you can do so many things with it. You can build on it. You can grow on it. You can create a new product, and then that product becomes the value. You know, no one's making any more land. It is all that we have is what we have. It's really, it's such a unique aspect. And even all the various different types of land, timberland, agriculture, farms and ranch, just when you think about everything that it can do and produce, and that somebody is passionate, a lot of somebody's. I think there's a little over 1,000 designees.
We got about 550. Right? About 550
members of RLI. I probably am getting those numbers reversed, but
it's okay.
Gosh, just to see how many folks have this passion really hit home with me in terms of, you know, understanding that a designation or being part of a specialty area is not just about letters behind your name. It really is about knowing all you can about that particular real estate asset.
We're the best of the best. There's about 1,300 members right now and about 550 ALCs, which I'm proud to be one. And Teresa's going to get yours someday.
How much land do you have to sell to be an ALC?
$10
million.
$10
million.
Yeah, you're getting there.
You're going to learn something if you sell $10 million.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we got to take six courses. They're two-day courses. I teach the Land 101, which is a base course. In fact, just got back from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and taught there, and then taught in Asheville 2 weeks ago up there for their board, and trying to recruit new dirt dogs, land women and land men. But you got to have six classes. These are two-day. One's a two-and-a-half-day course, three required, $10 million in sales. Each of the courses has a test at the end, 50 questions to certify them. You have to take a final exam, and then, like I said, $10 million in sales, whether you're the buyer's agent, seller agent, or dual agent, they count. And then do a final exam and have a ALC recommend you. I just wrote three letters to new ALC finalists to help them to get their designation in the last couple weeks. So I got about 4,000 or 5,000 students scattered all over the United States. I've been teaching it since 2003, and I just love doing it. And I've got my four-hour class for the state of North Carolina, the only land instructor with the only land class in North Carolina, which is kind of interesting. But we are quite an organization, and I think our staff's the best. Of course, you challenged me on that, wouldn't you, Jean?
I think all the staffs are the best.
Well, NAR, we're so blessed. I tell you, quality of people that we have there, you're very special. You're sort of like an ALC at NAR. You guys do a great job up there. Tell us about SIOR, Specialty Industry, Industrial and Office Real Estate Designation.
Yeah, so the Basically, SIORs are the office and industrial specialists. Experts. They're experts in the real estate industry when it comes to those two asset classes. They are, when you're talking about Class A office space, I would say every SIOR I've met is Class A. These men and women are professional. They know their stuff. They're very active. And it's, while it's one of the smaller organizations or medium-sized organizations with around, they're actually up to around 3,300 designees right now. They also have a broadening international footprint. And in fact, I was over in Germany about a month ago and ran into some SIORs at Expo Real, which is a very large international commercial real estate development event. And, you know, they're just, it's a very prestigious designation. So I would say somebody out there who's aspiring to be an industrial or office, you know, expert, the SIOR designation is the road you want to consider pursuing. And, you know, like the other organizations that we've talked about, SIOR has chapters around the country. And that's a great place to get started, to get engaged. And to network with other SIORs because they have a very, very strong network, similar to RLI, a very strong network of professionals at the local level.
Yeah, they're like in 500.
Like I said, top experts in their business.
They're like in 590 cities, according to the stats here, in 25 mm-hmm. countries. So we're well represented. So this is your family we're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, collectively, you know, just to put it into perspective in terms of how it all fits into the NAR world, these five commercial organizations are part of the NAR family. They all run independently. They all have their own boards, board of directors. They all have their own, you know, structures. But they are part of the NAR family, as I said, and we refer to them, you'll sometimes see, as the institutes, societies, and councils. There are actually three others that are also part of that group at NAR, although those don't specialize in commercial. But I get to spend a lot of time engaged with these particular members, since if you hold a designation from one of these organizations, if you're an ALC, for an example, or a CPM, or like I said, the other ones, you are a member of NAR. You may not be a full-fledged realtor, because we do have two different membership categories. But you are a member of NAR, and, you know, we are very proud of that. We're very proud to continue to work on building the relationships, because this is where members, any real estate professional in commercial real estate, these organizations are where you're going to get your best education, your best specialized education. And so I spend a lot of my time, as do some of my colleagues, because certainly this is, NAR structurally is kind of reorganized, and there are so many more people, so many more staff who are integrating into commercial. We're taking more of a horizontal approach across the organization than a siloed division for commercial. And so a lot more staff are engaged in relationships with these organizations to help find ways that we can increase the number of members who are aware of the education, because ultimately, and as we talked about ethics being so important, we want members to have that knowledge. You know, we want members who are going to go into office or who are, you know, leasing office space. We want them to have the best tools at their fingertips. And same thing with any of the other specialty areas of commercial real estate. So, you know, I would say, you know, we are very focused on collaboration with these organizations, but also being respectful that they all have something unique to offer the industry. And so that collaboration is partnered with support as best as we can provide.
Can you tell us about some of your cousins, the other organizations that's not part of the commercial division at NAR?
Sure. There is nothing like a test on a Wednesday, right?
Hey, you're doing great.
The Women's Council of Realtors.
There you go, Teresa.
Is one of our other three affiliate organizations. And clearly that W in WCR means that is an organization of female experts in this business, although I believe it's not limited. I believe they do have men in that organization as well. That is a great network, certainly focused on supporting and uplifting their fellow colleagues to become experts. In real estate. And then we have the Real Estate Business Institute. And again, another organization focused on education, elevating the careers of today's real estate professionals. And really it focuses on developing leaders, supporting, the business that they're in, how to operate, how to increase your profitability, and things like that. And then finally, we have the Residential Real Estate Council. And clearly, that is focused on residential sales. And they have a designation called the Certified Residential Specialist. And there are roughly 34,000 of those. So, and again, great organizations that are all focused on a specific area. Ultimately, the common thread through all of these is that professionalism and education component. It's so vitally important to this industry, and ultimately to our clients, right? To your clients and the consumers out there, to make sure they're using, working with a trusted professional who knows what they're doing.
Well, I admire the young ones. You got to start somewhere, but if you're going to go invest your life savings, the biggest investment that you ever make in your life, real estate, probably, you want to deal with a professional, especially in these unique properties. Land is a specialty. And I know this as an instructor, not every real estate agent understands the concepts of real estate land brokerage. And, even in class, Teresa, I think, right? Mm-hmm. They threw a slide. What did the slide say?
Which one?
The slide that says realtors are, land is the most complicated of all real estate transactions.
Oh, yeah.
They throw that slide up, and the instructors can't explain why that is, because there's no education for the instructors. Which is a shame. In fact, I've offered our Real Estate Commission an opportunity for me to create a class for the instructors that teach that course to at least give them something to respond to when they throw that slide up of why land is the most complicated, because they're just blinded by it. But, if you're going to get involved in a real estate transaction, go to these organizations. They all have their own unique websites. Like ours, Realtors Land Institute is www.rliland.com. And if you're relocating across the country, or if you've got property, sometimes I get calls all over the time. I do consulting all over the country. Where somebody inherited a farm, they live on the East Coast and they inherited a farm through the family or something, and, they don't know what to do with it and they don't know who to call. So I say, well, go to the Realtors Land Institute and find a realtor that's a member, and at least they have some education on land, or they are interested in it. But, when you're dealing with this type of investment, you want to deal with the best people you can. So I encourage the listening audience out there, and I encourage the agents out there that are interested in specializing in any of the things we're talking about today that NAR provides, to get involved. If you want to be the best, you got to be with the best. And, that's what I advocate, right? What do you think, Teresa?
Well, I didn't know that there was so much education that was available. I'm learning this. I just thought you became a real estate agent and that was it. I didn't
know.
That's not even close. That's just the very, very, very first step. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do after that.
Well, you're doing a great job. Our guest today is Gene Maydan. This is Let's Talk Land. What are some of the other services that NAR provides, other than supporting the institutions?
Well, sure. We look to, really aim, I would say, from a commercial standpoint, again, to provide some really specific services. I would be neglectful if I did not first and foremost talk about NAR's efforts when it comes to federal issues from an advocacy standpoint. We are, as you mentioned earlier in the show, we are, the largest lobbying group in Washington, D.C. when it comes to real estate, and we do that collectively with other organizations, certainly on issues, because, you know, we need to be supportive of one another. Advocacy is one of the things that's probably hardest to put a price tag on, but it is the most valuable. And one of the things that always comes to mind for me, and actually came up this past week in San Francisco at our annual conference, when a member asked if the 1031 like-kind exchange was going to be, a concern in the future. And it is one of those core issues in commercial real estate that we're always paying attention to. We've done a good job of protecting it. Most of your listeners out there might not even know that ever comes to the plate in Washington in terms of potentially being changed or it going away. But we are very actively always trying to protect that, because based on our research, we know that about 60% of all commercial transactions involve a 1031 exchange, as well as additionally a lot of residential transactions.
Yeah, and land too. Yeah, I've done quite a few.
It's just one of many issues that we're monitoring. And so for our members out there, we say it's like having your insurance policy, right? Being a member of NAR, we are protecting your business, your ability to do business, and your client's ability to be able to, get a transaction done, to be able to purchase and own real property. On a whole host of issues, like I said, 1031 exchange, another one, Waters of the U.S. I know that's been a hot topic over the years in RLI circles. So that's something I always want to make sure we don't, neglect to talk about. Because even if you don't hear about something going on, like the mortgage interest deduction is something we talk about a lot. Certainly affects a lot of homeowners. Know that we are advocating for just as many issues on that commercial side of the business.
We also have it at the state level. Every state has a legislative group. I know we have a very dynamic, active group in Raleigh. We bought one of the old historic houses in downtown Raleigh a couple years ago and renovated it, and we're quite proud of it. And, of course, we have our organization called RPAC. That's where we donate. Mm-hmm. And it's, by the way, you can't write it off. It's a pure donation.
Members make an investment in RPAC, and it helps support activities that NAR engages in, especially mostly, I'll say, at the local and state level, to support folks running for political positions who are pro-real estate.
And we have
a lot of realtors out there who have, gone on to second careers in politics to strengthen their local community. So we look to align ourselves with those folks, those resources are used on a variety of things, from issues, mobilization and polling, as well as in a whole other area in terms of going back into grant funding to facilitate placemaking initiatives, smart growth, transit-oriented development. It is a way that local, especially I keep going back to that local part,
right?
But for our local associations to engage their town governments, their city officials, their Chamber of Commerce, economic development agencies, to ultimately strengthen that place. Because as you would probably agree with me, we all want to live and work in a place that's vibrant and economically, stable, right?
Absolutely.
And that creates wealth in our real estate investments. But more so, it just makes it a great place to live and raise kids and have our friendships and things like that.
Yep, and we're non-political too, so it's not, we're not Republican, we're not Democrat, we're not independent. If you are if you are a member of NAR, it doesn't matter what your political persuasion is, and you want to run for an office at the local, state, or federal level, RPAC, that money that we raise, is there for you. So I think Russell Riggs, who's our head lobbyist for RLI, who I interview every year after our land conference, which will be in San Antonio this March, end of March, 1st of April, And after that, I'll have Russell back on again to update us on the legislative issues and where we are, the farm bill, the water bill, drones, all these things that we look at from the land side. And like I said, the other organizations, they have their own members that work on their areas. So it's quite an organization. Our library up there, I had the privilege a number of years ago, one of the our head librarian was invited to the land conference, and I was privileged to be beside her at lunch and got to know her throughout the conference. But we have the most comprehensive library in the world, I understand, right?
We have the largest real estate library in the world.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
As a member, you have access, as a member of NAR, as a realtor out there, you have access to the largest library, largest real estate library. Think about all the resources you could tap into.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a book you want to read or you're doing research, whatever it is that, you know, and it's not just books and, you know, things like that. Reference research.
White papers.
If you're looking for topical guides, we're constantly updating our topic pages on the NAR website. And a lot of those are done through our librarians who are, you know, calling through all that research, that data we have in our library. There's also a collection of ebooks. So did you know you basically have access to hundreds of electronic books and not just real estate books? So if you're looking to, you know, pick up an ebook to take on vacation, you actually can access that through your NAR membership through our library. So and then there's books you can check out a physical book, business letter templates, just a whole host of things that, especially we know that there are a lot of smaller, I like to say boutique brokerages out there, smaller offices where it just might be just you running the show, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have time to put together a business letter template, you know, for all the different things you need. Well, you can access NAR's library and use those as your foundation. So you don't have to go reinvent the wheel. You can use, you know, what we've developed for you. So, and our librarians are just some of the nicest people I know.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Internally, I have asked questions and, you know, they're just so knowledgeable about real estate. And very proud of the historical data that we have, too, the historical information we have about the formation of our associations, the formation of the institutes and things like that. It's really amazing how passionate they are and how much information and actual archival data and content that we have, the original copy of the Code of Ethics. I got to look at one day. It's just, you know, see a piece of history like that is pretty amazing.
Yeah, we are. We've been around a long time. It's quite an organization, and we also have one of the best teams of attorneys, lawyers, probably of any other association in the country, and they're also available to if you're a realtor and you've got a legal issue. Tell us about that department.
Sure. Well, you know, this business, you know, we talked about how important it is to do what you know how to do. But sometimes you run into a question, right? You're going to run into something, whether it's about a patent, you know, your liability, maybe a dispute. And so, you know, our legal staff, I would say, again, I don't mean to, like, brag about my colleagues, but they're so smart.
Yeah, they are.
So if you've got questions, first of all, the legal resources on the NAR website are phenomenal. So nar.realtor/legal, really easy way to remember it, right? Just, you know, type in legal or put legal at the end of that.
Right.
You know, if you just want to stay on top of things, there are a whole bunch of topics there. But if you do have questions around compliance or risk management, you know, our staff are available to help guide you through that. And, you know, we're constantly also they're putting together videos about things, window to the law, again, to keep our members informed about various issues. And then we also do have a legal action program where there's financial assistance available to support litigation as well.
And again, that's one of our membership benefits. That's pro bono, right? Unless you really get into something. But basically, you know, free advice, right?
Yeah. So it can never hurt to give us a call to ask us what your question is, you know, and we'll give you the best guidance we can. And sometimes that might be to seek further, you know, legal counsel, you know, to retain somebody if it's, a, you know, a big issue that you're going to need that for. So, you know, we're not here necessarily to tell you how to do it, but we're going to help guide you with your options.
Yeah. We've got another department, too, called RPR. Tell us about that. We own that.
Yeah, we do. The RPR is the abbreviation for the Realtors Property Resource. And RPR is a wholly owned subsidiary of NAR. And it is, in the clearest way I can probably explain it, a parcel-centric database of every property in the country. So that's residential, land, and commercial property. So basically, as I explained to someone a couple days ago at our expo floor, if it's got a PIN number, you know, that parcel number, it's going to be mapped out in RPR. And RPR is a realtor-only benefit. This database is included in your membership dues, so you're not paying anything else for it, and there's no public access. So it's like an encyclopedia of all the real estate properties in the country that you as a realtor have exclusive access to. So no one from the general public can look up anything, and you can choose what information from it you want to download into a report. So some of the information that's layered over that and partially, you know, what all, it's not just the basic information about a property, you know, like owner and last sale date, you know, the zoning information, et cetera, mortgage records, things like that. It also is layered with Esri Tapestry data. So you're going to get, you can analyze a particular property. You can analyze the demographics of a particular neighborhood. You can run a trade area report on a type of business. So let's say, you know, you were working with somebody who's looking to put in a new gas station and you wanted to, you know, they weren't exactly sure where they, you know, they could put this gas station. You can pinpoint in a geographical area by zip code or by, you know, region where there are plenty of gas stations and where there are too many. I will tell you, I usually use shoes as an example here, shoe stores, but, but you know, it works for any type of property like that. So for folks out there, they're doing a lot of site selection or our tenant reps. It's a really great tool to help really pinpoint that. So there are two components of it, residential and commercial. So you can toggle back and forth between the two sides of the database, depending on, you know, again, what kind of expert you are. If you're a commercial specialist, you probably spend 99% of your time in the commercial side. But you can run drive times from landmarks. You can run those trade area reports. You can identify the population or where the population is that is of a certain income level that is looking to spend their money or likely to spend their money on going out to eat. So again, if you're in the restaurant business, another great opportunity. And there's two nice features of it, besides everything else I've already talked about, is that you can create reports on a property. So let's say you have found some property, you know, or a geographical location you think your client should invest in, or on the residential side, if you're running a comparable report, you can generate a report, a nice PDF out of that you can print or email to your client, and you can brand that with your own contact information, your own business logo. It's completely customizable. And then the other enhancement on top of that, specific to commercial, is that, well, there's two really. There are commercial property listings, that are now sourced from our two major preferred vendors, Brevitas and Crexy. We integrated those listings after signing agreements with these companies back in May. And now there are an additional 300,000 commercial properties, including land, that you can search for across the country. So if you're looking for that live listing, it's kind of like the icing on the cake, if you will. So, you know, you can see a geographic area, zip code, and now you can see those properties that are available. And Even more recently, in September, we added opportunity zones to the mix. We mapped out those in RPR. So now if you're looking at a potential property or site within an opportunity zone, or can identify that it's within an opportunity zone, you know that you have that potential avenue with some added tax incentives for your client to consider. So really, it's this, you know, at the end of the day, Lou, you know, I'm not a practitioner.
Well, you sound like one.
All day long, because I think it's such a valuable tool. It's one of those things out there. If you're a realtor out there and you haven't gotten on and done one of the tutorials or just gone around and checked it out, you really should, because there's so much information in there and so many ways to use it.
It's pretty exciting. They're also going to be starting on the land part of it. They did the residential first and perfected it. Now they've got the commercial. And I've been told and maybe invited, I hope, to be involved in creating the land aspect of it with the terminologies and, you know, more advanced search engines, words and so on. So we use it often in our office, and I think more and more realtors are using it. And so, again, you know, when you're out there wanting to invest in real estate or sell real estate, you need to go to the top people, and we're talking about who they are and identifying them for you. What other services do we provide? I know we're trying to create a new health program for the realtors. You know, all this.
Certainly, that is an issue.
Where are we on that?
That NAR is very actively, you know, in trying to support associational health plans. You know, we're a strong advocate for that. We have a large constituency, and we know that members need access to options. I would, you know, there's certainly some things in Washington, D.C. that, you know, are moving along. I think in terms of conversations, we have staff that are spending time and expertise, you know, developing their expertise and using their expertise on that. In the meantime, there are some options available to you, you know, that are out on the marketplace, and I would suggest to any member who hasn't taken advantage of at least looking into what all is contained within the Realtor Benefits Program, that would be my first place to step, because there are some health plans in there, some options for you to shop in the marketplace, as well as other resources and money-saving tools, everything from a discount on cell phone service if you're a Sprint care user, to discounts on car rentals, as well as office and FedEx services as well. So there are a whole host of money-saving opportunities for members and in the Realtor Benefits Program.
What other things do we have at NAR?
Oh, well, let's see. Where else could I go with this? You know, I'm very proud of some of the things that my colleagues who are subject matters in commercial real estate put out that we work on collectively. And research is, and I hear this again and again, it's one of the most valuable valuable resources we provide, in addition to all the other things we've talked about. But NAR puts out a quarterly market report. In terms of what we survey members, we get some anecdotal information, we do some industry research, we put out a quarterly market report and outlook, as well as surveys on lending conditions, et cetera. Those you can all find just by going to the NAR website and searching research. And one of the newer reports is on international business.
Okay.
Now, we've long focused, you know, on the residential side. We do a profile of home buyers coming from outside the United States with inbound investment on residential properties. But 3 years ago, we started doing an international commercial business trends report, because we know that foreign investment in commercial real estate is one of those things that is a substantial percentage. I think according to some data, it usually typically is between 12 and 14% of all commercial real estate transactions in the United States is foreign investment. And several years ago, NAR made a strategic initiative to be part of the MIPIM conference, which is held in France every March. And before you think that, you know, we go and have a good time in France once a year, what we're doing there is at this conference, which is one of the largest conferences in the world, large to 26,000 attendees, 5,000 investors, C-suite business owners, you know, business owners, political leaders, you name it, they're there. This MIPIM is where the world really comes to look for opportunities or for where to invest. And many years ago, when some NAR leadership was there to scout it out to see what it was all about, noticed that the United States was not very present. In fact, really not present at all. And so strategically, we have built over the last 5 years the United States Pavilion. And Pavilion sounds very big and exciting, and it's about 2,000 square meters, so it's significant.
Right.
It is a area of the trade show floor, the trade expo, or the expo floor, that is really all about the United States. And we work with our local associations. We partner with associations like the Florida Realtors, Illinois Realtors. Tennessee is going to join us this year. Yeah,
we had a delegation.
Just to name a few, yeah. To represent their markets, to represent their states, with the purpose, a twofold purpose. One, to drive awareness about that particular region, because I'll say most folks from outside the United States don't necessarily know where Charlotte, North Carolina is. They might be able to put North Carolina on the eastern seaboard of the United States, but they may not know where Charlotte is or what Charlotte has going for it. So our intent is really to help put those places on the map, both literally and figuratively, and to engage the Realtor Association with, again, a local or state economic development agency here in that partnership, because we know if we can help facilitate, if our experts, right, at the association level and our member experts can help facilitate why a particular geographic area would be a good investment personally or for someone to bring their business, for someone to, purchase land, to purchase that investment, or, to, like I said, to build a new industrial plant, to put a new office. They're going to relocate employees, they're going to hire new employees, there's going to be new jobs created. Ultimately, that feeds back into home ownership because I like to say commercial real estate creates jobs create homeowners.
You got it.
So we know that it's this cycle, and it has been an amazing thing to be part of. From my perspective, it's a lot of work to help our associations accomplish this, but we've seen folks from New Jersey meet investors from Malta who are looking at property management in a coastal city. And we know New Jersey's got plenty of coastline that's beautiful and is perfect for multifamily development. And we've helped, you know, realtors better position themselves as an expert in their local market. Of those 26,000 attendees, only about 600 or 700 of them are from the United States. So we're the small fish in the big pond,
yeah.
Which presents a great opportunity for any member who is interested in going to spend their marketing dollars to create a business strategy around around the international audience. Because you could be the person from your market, the one person that could be the conduit in helping make connections and build relationships. And ultimately driving economic investment in your market. And so that's a significant thing that we do, sort of behind the scenes, if you will. It's not necessarily direct benefit that, you know, that 80,000 commercial practitioners are going to take advantage of. While I say that there is a discount that we negotiate for the event for members that do want to travel. But really what we're trying to do is bring the realtor voice, the association voice, into that local or state conversation when it comes to economic development, which we know will benefit all of our members.
By the way, we had a delegation from North Carolina this year. And
yes, you did. You did, and some great people too.
Absolutely, I was part of the committee to because I was part of the NCRCA, we had a nominating committee of who was going, so I was part of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go, but I got to nominate. So we're real proud of our group that went. It was the best of the best, and they got a lot of business out of it too. It's amazing the results that I've heard afterwards. Mm-hmm. So we got about 4 minutes left. Where do we want to go next? Is there anything that's missing at NAR we haven't talked about that's important? I'm sure there is.
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think of all the topics. We hit on technology. We hit on education, research. You know, we talked about the international part. You know, I would just say at the end of the day, you know, we, as you know, we talked about statistics earlier and, you know, the average age of a commercial member of NAR being 60. You know, this is a transitioning time in this industry. And there's a lot of, when it comes to working with our affiliates, a lot of collaboration about talk about how we, you know, help support that pipeline of you know, younger generations coming into commercial real estate, how we interact with, how seasoned professionals are interacting with those young professionals, how they're attracting them. Because at some point, if you're, you know, if you own your own brokerage, who's going to take over for you? You know, who's going to be that, who's that next generation who's going to carry on the legacy? When you, you know, decide to you know, go riding off into the sunset, so to speak. So we're definitely paying attention to some major trends like that, because we do see that aging population.
Perfect.
So I'd say there's a focus on diversity, and whether that, you know, that you know, age, experience, whatnot, and we're definitely paying attention on that.
Teresa, what did you learn today?
Well, this was very informative, and I learned a lot, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. I do have one question that I hope won't take but a minute, because I know we don't have long. Did I understand you to say that there's two different types of membership in NAR, two different levels, or did I misunderstand that?
I missed the first part of your question there.
The two different types of membership in the NAR.
Yeah.
What's
so
the
most,
difference?
I will say most of the 1.4 million members are realtor members. We have a very small sliver of what we call institute affiliates. There's 9,000 of them. And so when you earn a designation from an organization like RLI, if you're not already a realtor member, you are required to be a member of NAR. And so if you opt not to be a full realtor, and you'll, which means you'll miss out on that RPR benefit, you have a choice that you would have. Well, you have the choice. You have to be at least an institute affiliate member.
Okay.
So, like I said, of the 1.4 million, it's just 9,000, and it is. It really is when you are coming into the organization for the first time through earning one of those designations. So,
Jean, it's
just a kind of a membership category nuance that we have. That
I gotta cut us off. We're out of time here. How do they get in touch with you, real quick? How do they get in touch with you real quick?
Oh, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, the easiest way is my email, jmaday@nar.realtor.
Okay. Thank you for being our guest today. Don't go away. We're going to close this thing out. Teresa, stand by. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to suggest, we would appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public, but most importantly for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All shows are after broadcast or downloaded on the master website, www.letstalkland.net. They're also broadcast on Podbeam and Spotify. My email is lou@mylandpro.com. My cell phone number is 336-669-1405. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
My email is teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com, and my phone number is 336-209-2937.
There you go. Rodney, how do they get us at the station?
Well, then go to our website. Go to WKTE1090.com. Click on our website there, and they can also download the Simple Radio app. And you can hear us anywhere in the world.
In the world?
In the world.
With the Simple Radio app.
Yeah, even in outer space, probably.
Outer space. Wow. Yeah.
How about that?
I love it.
Yes.
And we're a beach and oldies, and we were voted, what, 5 years in a row?
5 years in a row, being the top radio station on the East Coast there.
And we play beach and oldies and happy music.
Happy music. Only no
happy,
sad music.
Only happy music.
Happy music. Got to be happy.
You got a great station.
Thank
and you,
you
got a nice award not too long ago.
Yeah, thank you. It was the Reader Choice Awards for 2019 for the Radio Announcer of the Year.
Wonder why.
I have no clue yet.
Thank you for joining us today, and stay tuned for Dr. Barbie.